this movie means even more to me socially than it does artistically.
Thank you, BAFTA, for giving me this great honor.
It's the Gay Shepherd movie.
So happy to be back.
It is nothing, it is all, it is love, it's beautiful.
I would be a boy for her. If only she would let me, I'd be a boy.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A proudly defiant lesbian teen is viciously murdered in South Africa. That Mountain movie wins 4 BAFTAs while its stars lose their shirts. And new CDs by long out of earshot artists invigorate the audiophile. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 25th, 2006. The shocking murder of a young Cape Town area lesbian has brought home the sad truth that the progressive attitude of South Africa's constitution is not necessarily shared by the people of its townships. According to news reports, 19-year-old Zoliswa Nkonyana was walking home with a friend in the township of Khayelitsha earlier this month when they were confronted by another schoolgirl who called them tomboys who want to get raped. Zoliswa replied, "We are not tomboys, we are lesbians. We are just doing our thing, so leave us alone." The girl went to a nearby tavern and returned with about 20 young male friends. Zoliswa's companion, who is in hiding and cannot be identified, says she implored Zoliswa to run from the attackers, but Zoliswa said, "No, this is my area. Why must we go?" As the gang chased them with golf clubs, Zoliswa's friend managed to escape over a fence. Zoliswa ran for home, but was overtaken just outside her door and bludgeoned, hit with bricks, and stabbed to death. 6 suspects, all between the ages of 17 and 19, have been arrested in connection with the killing. About 400 people attended Zoliswa's funeral, and on February 19th, Cape Town Pride marchers paid tribute to the slain teen as they ventured into the township of Guguletu for the first time. Zanella Muholi, a lesbian official with the Forum for the Empowerment of Women, told the Mail and Guardian newspaper, "Members of our community are celebrating the Constitution, but it is very different in the society. They should hold workshops on the Constitution in all the townships. People are not aware of our rights and needs."
Adoptions and foster care by lesbians and gay men made the news this week in France, Israel, and the United States. France's highest court wrote that the country's civil code does not forbid a single mother from sharing all or part of her parental rights with the woman with whom she lives in a stable and continuous union as long as the circumstances demand it and as long as the move conforms to the child's best interest. The case centered around 2 unnamed women who registered a civil union in December 1999 after 10 years of living together. One of the partners gave birth to 2 daughters through artificial insemination, but only the birth mother had previously held legal parental rights. In approving the woman's partner as a second parent, the court ruled that the absence of a legal father left the girls at risk in case their birth mother becomes incapacitated.
An Israeli family court has, for the first time, approved a same-gender couple's adoption of each other's biological children. In addition to parenting a now 15-year-old, Tal and Avital Jaras Hakak each gave birth to a child using in vitro fertilization in 1994 and 1997. Their case had been in the courts for several years. Israeli queer activists say that despite the ruling, it will still be a long time before same-gender couples are legally recognized there.
In the U.S., a judge in Missouri ruled this week that the state's Department of Social Services improperly denied a woman's application to become a foster parent simply because she's a lesbian. The rejection was challenged by the American Civil Liberties Union on behalf of Lisa Johnston of Kansas City, who happens to hold a degree in child development from the University of Kansas. Her partner, Don Roginski, has a master's degree in counseling and works as a chaplain at a treatment center for troubled teens. Jackson County Circuit Judge Sandra C. Midkiff ruled against the rejection of Johnston, writing that her sexual orientation should not be the endpoint of the agency's consideration of her application for a foster care license. Social Services had argued that a child raised by a same-gender couple might face social disapproval, a position that Midkiff wrote, is unsupported by competent and substantial evidence and is arbitrary and capricious. While there's no written ban on gays and lesbians fostering or adopting children in Missouri, social services reportedly rejected Johnston's fostering application on the basis of the state's sodomy statute, deeming her therefore to not be of reputable character. This, despite the U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of all such laws in 2003. There's no word yet on whether or not the state will appeal the ruling.
A bill to ban adoption and foster care by gays and lesbians was introduced by 10 Republicans earlier this month in the legislature of the U.S. state of Ohio, but it's unlikely to see a vote. Republican John Husted is Speaker of the House and is himself adopted. He criticized his colleague's bill, telling the Ohio News Network that, "We have thousands of children in Ohio that need a loving and caring home. I'm trying to expand opportunities for those children to find a nurturing and caring environment, not close down those opportunities to them."
Several leading children's health, welfare, and mental health organizations in the U.S. have issued statements declaring that a parent's sexual orientation is irrelevant to his or her ability to raise a child. Nevertheless, religious conservatives are increasingly raising the issue, encouraged by the wholesale bans on marriage equality in the 2004 elections and the continuing actions on that front. Moves to pass laws or qualify November ballot initiatives to ban adoptions by gays and lesbians are underway in at least 15 states. Patrick Guerrero of the GLBT Log Cabin Republicans calls the strategy the next step by conservatives. "The game plan was first to go to states where it was easy to pass anti-marriage amendments," he said, "and then launch a second round of attacks on gay adoption." But skeptical Republican pollster Whit Ayers told USA Today that adoption doesn't have the emotional power of the gay marriage issue because there's no such thing as the phrase, "the sanctity of adoption."
South Korea's Sexual Violence Relief Center has condemned discrimination against gay men in the armed forces and called for changes to regulations banning them from duty. The group was joined by an alliance of 35 civic organizations at a press conference in Seoul this week, denouncing the treatment of gay men in the country's military. At least 8 soldiers were discharged in 2005 for homosexuality, according to the South Korea Defense Ministry's first-ever disclosure of such statistics. Hwang Jang-kwon of Solidarity for Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Human Rights of Korea said a gay soldier sought the group's help earlier this month after being forced to provide photographic evidence that he was involved in homosexual relations. He said he was also forced to take an AIDS test without his consent. All South Korean men are required to serve in the country's armed forces. The groups urged the Ministry of Defense to take measures to protect the human rights of gay and bisexual men drafted into the military, and also to consider alternatives to regular military service for them. Members of the group said they will submit the issue to the National Human Rights Commission for further review. Defense Ministry officials said they will investigate alleged violations of gay conscripts' mistreatment only if the commission requires them to do so.
A commission of U.S. military experts has released a report saying that implementing Don't Ask, Don't Tell cost American taxpayers almost $369 million in the policy's first 10 years. According to the report, the military has put millions of dollars into recruiting and training new soldiers and officers to replace those who were removed from their jobs because they are openly lesbian or gay. Issued by the Center for the Study of Sexual Minorities in the Military at the University of California, Santa Barbara, the report's authors include William Perry, former U.S. Secretary of Defense under Bill Clinton, former Reagan Administration Assistant Secretary of Defense Lawrence Korb, and professors from the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. C. Dixon Osborne of the Service Members Legal Defense Network, a queer military advocacy group, said $369 million would buy body armor vests to outfit the entire American military now serving in Iraq. He estimates that the Pentagon has discharged more than 10,000 service members for homosexuality since Don't Ask, Don't Tell went into effect in 1994. And Denny Meyer of the group American Veterans for Equal Rights pointed to the untold additional costs of the policy through the loss of those who don't re-enlist. "Many of these service members were senior NCOs," he said, "who could no longer live in silence with freedom to be themselves just outside the base gates."
And finally, the offensive God Hates Fags Fred Phelps and his mostly family Westboro Baptist Church is being confronted by a new enemy as they picket funerals of soldiers killed in Iraq, a biker gang made up mostly of U.S. veterans. The otherwise inconsequential anti-queer group has achieved notoriety for protests at the funerals of Matthew Shepard and other gay men. They're now demonstrating at military funerals because, they say, the soldiers fought for a country that embraces homosexuals. But a diverse group of motorcyclists has been riding sometimes hundreds of miles across the country to attend the funerals and counter the Phelps Klan's anti-queer antics. The Patriot Guard Riders is larger than the average biker group, numbering about 5,000 across more than a dozen states, according to the Associated Press. They shield the families of dead soldiers from the protesters, drowning out the jeers with patriotic chants and a sea of American flags. "It's just the right thing to do," Kurt Mayer, the Riders' national spokesperson, told the AP. The Southern Poverty Law Center's Heidi Byrich said that other groups showing up to counter Phelps haven't been as large or as organized as the Patriot Guard. "It's nice that these veterans and their supporters are trying to do something," she said. "I can't imagine anything worse. Your loved one is killed in Iraq, and you've got to deal with Fred Phelps."
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 25th, 2006. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written this week by Lucia Chappell and Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
Three queer music faves have been out of earshot for quite a while, but happily they've each returned to the recording studios in recent months. We'll sample their new CDs in the audio file later in the program.
Hi, this is Ron Romanofsky.
And this is Paul Phillips.
And we're Romanofsky and Phillips. You're listening to This Way Out,
the international gay and lesbian radio magazine.
And if we weren't on the radio right now, I'm sure we would be listening.
What if you and me had a little ranch somewhere, a little cow and calf operation? Be sweet life.
Brokeback Mountain may have been banned in China, the United Arab Emirates, and certain places in the U.S. state of Utah, but it will be screened in Jamaica, despite objections from that country's religious leaders. And the landmark film continues to collect almost every movie award there is, including four at the British Academy of Film and Television Awards during ceremonies held in London on February 19th. Along with winning the Best Adapted Screenplay trophy, the BAFTA for Best Supporting Actor went to a genuinely surprised Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, who thought that this would happen? Thank you so much to Aang, to Heath, to Michelle, to James, to Larry and Diana for writing this incredible story, to Annie Proulx for writing this too. It's almost all three of theirs. This movie means even more to me socially than it does artistically, and it's just a pleasure to be a part of, and I can't even believe that I've got this for it.
Ang Lee rode off with the Best Director Award.
Thank you, BAFTA, for giving me this great honor again. You've been always very nice to me since my little film Wedding Banquet 13 years ago. I feel very privileged to have the chance to participate in the making of Brokeback Mountain. It's a very special project. I want to thank Annie Proulx for her brilliant love story, Larry, McMurtry, Diana, Osana for initiating the project, adapting the screenplay, and see through the production. And everybody in Focus, thank you for your support, especially James Shemers and David Lindy, and to Bill Polab and Universal, and my lovely, incredible cast and crew. You're just incredible. Thank you so much.
And producer James Shamus accepted the BAFTA for Best Film.
Thank you, BAFTA, so much. On behalf of everybody who helped make this film, it's a great opportunity to set the record straight. You know, we've been suffering under this terrible epithet, this kind of cliche of being the gay cowboy movie, and I just want to say, Brokeback Mountain really, it truly is a universal story of two gay shepherds. It's the gay shepherd movie. And I'll be pretentious and quote Christopher Marlowe, who I think himself is a bit acquainted with gay shepherds, in his Not So Immortal Words, to tell you how I feel and everyone about with the film feels tonight about the shepherd swains who want to dance and sing, and we won't do that in front of you, but on behalf of everyone at Focus and our super swain, David Lindy, to our shepherd in chief, Ang Lee, to Larry and Diana, who couldn't be here tonight, to our amazing cast and crew, and to our families, thank you so much, BAFTA, for this tremendous honor. Thank you.
In other Brokeback news, gay activist and movie memorabilia collector Tom Gregory had the winning bid in an online charity auction of the shirts worn by Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal in the film. His winning bid of $101,100.51 came within seconds of the close of the 10-day auction. Gregory called the shirts the ruby slippers of our time and told the Associated Press that he plans to keep them as they were on the hanger entwined. I would never wear them, put them on, or separate them, he said. Focus Features, distributor of Brokeback Mountain, donated the two shirts to the eBay auction to benefit Variety, the children's charity of Southern California, which plans to use some of the proceeds to build a new Boys and Girls Club in the ethnically mixed Boyle Heights neighborhood of Los Angeles. Reporting for This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Pride on Screen, 2005.
After my operation, I will be a woman.
Summer, I was 8 years old. 5 hours disappeared from my life.
On the night of November 14th, two men broke into a quiet farmhouse in Kansas and murdered an entire family.
The bottom line is, we're around each other, and this thing grabs hold of us again.
From Transamerica to Capote to Brokeback Mountain and several significant others, 2005 was a banner year for queer content movies. With copious clips and comments by the filmmakers themselves, you can own Steve Pride's special half-hour review. Log on to thiswayout.org for all the details. Are you signed up for our monthly emailed This Way Out updates? They briefly preview upcoming programming and give you other behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio program. We also send out weekly email messages about the specific content of each upcoming show. To receive one or both of these messages, all you need to do is email tworadio@aol.com. And be assured that we don't share, sell, or otherwise provide your email address or anything else about you to anyone, and we never will. Again, to receive the monthly This Way Out update and or our weekly program promo message, ask for them by name when you email tworadio@aol.com. A Love Lover is issuing an urgent last chance message. A woman's music icon is turning into beautiful, and Nidra is just herself in this month's audio file.
It is nothing, it is all, it is love, it's beautiful, it's still love. Love and cherish, I never had the inspiration within my soul. But when I saw him, I knew I would never find the strength to let him go.
Our three artists this time have in common that it's been 8 or 9 years since their last studio albums. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. First up out of Seattle is Jimmy Worm, and his album is called Last Chance.
The new album is titled Last Chance, and in it I've tried to capture a lot of aspects of love, using mostly acoustic guitar and cello, a lot of acoustic instruments, and just to capture falling in love, out of love, marriage equality, and the title represents the urgency of love and all those different aspects.
Take this love that I offer, take this blood that I bleed, take these tears on my pillow, I am not what you need, you need greenbacks and euros and guilders and pesos, rubles and pound notes.
marks and Deutsche marks and yen. All that I have is a heart that is willing to surrender completely from now to the end.
Find out more about Jimmy Worm and his album Last Chance at www.jimmyworm.com.
Farron is an icon in the genre of women's music, so any new album is an event. Her new release is called Turning Into Beautiful, and she is indeed glad to be back.
Hello, my friends. I feel so happy to be back, to feel so clear and on the track. But it's more than that. I mean, I love us in this room. And they tell me that love can ward off gloom. I like to fancy that.
The new CD is called Turning Into Beautiful. And what I love about that CD is that it took about another 9 years since the last CD to record. And it's just like a soup. It's just more seasoned, more reflective on what it's like getting older with all its losses and its gains.
You can learn more about Farron's album, Turning Into Beautiful, at www.farrononline.com.
Nedra Johnson's first album was the critically acclaimed Testify. Her follow-up is simply called Nedra.
You're my sister, you're my brother. When they ask you, you check other. You don't fit in. In between, you push their buttons, will you just like me? Just like me. You're a freak.
The album contains a number of styles, and it's sensual, it's wise, it's edgy, it's political, it's warm, and it's all well done.
The album is called Nedra. It talks about women's music, it talks about love between women. It's basically R&B, pretty varied in the way it sounds, and lots of background vocals. It's just a, sort of an exploration of where I'm at right now. That's why I chose to call it Nedra. I'm pretty happy with how it turned out.
She's a bandit. She's a bandit,
bandit.
She is a bandit, yeah, yeah.
She's a bandit.
I went to visit her. She came to get me. That fam has two hearts. That's why she swept me. And I would be a boy for her. Only she would let me, I'd be a boy. Her loving boy.
Find out more about Nedra Johnson and the CD Nedra at www.nedrajohnson.com. That's www.nedrajohnson.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas, 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Yeah, yeah, and she's a bandit. She took what was nothing and made it something. Not a criminal or thief. Bandit, Lord, what you took from me. My whole life I've been in bondage. Baby, you have set me free. Won't you say that I can be yours? She's a bandit, not a criminal or thief. Bandit, Lord, what you took from me. My whole life I've been in bondage. Baby, you have set me free. Won't you say that I can be yours? She's the kind of boy that makes her fun. Being in service to the right woman. And we told it was a job well done.
It's a melodious half-hour collection of our audiophile producers' picks for the best queer-created music of 2005.
Well, I can be sweet. Put my arm around you.
We are flowers, wanting flowers.
I'm a white trash girl from the wrong side of town.
Take the time to understand the way I feel inside.
Log on to thiswayout.org to find out how you can own the Audiophile 2005 Year in Review. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. This week, Sherry Lunn, Christopher Gall, Rex Walkner, Graham Underhill, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively on planetout.com. There's also a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to find out how you can help keep this program on the air and choose from some unique This Way Out queer history and culture CDs that you can own as our thanks. That's thiswayout.org. To sign up for our weekly emailed program information messages and or our monthly This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on KFAI Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, CFUR Prince George, British Columbia, WRVU Nashville, Tennessee, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.